Tonight we have three speakers. Dr. Brown will be speaking, Dr. Jasmine, and yours truly. Be sure to come back promptly at 7 o'clock. Dr. Gomez from Mexican Ministries, and having moved to Brownsville, Texas, because of the difficulties and the dangers and the killings and the slaughters in Matamoros, we praise the Lord that he's here safely. Continue to pray for him. He's had a stroke recently. He's very weak. He's got to go out from here and fly over to Peru, maybe, if he's still strong enough to do so, for a Bible conference. So pray for Brother Humberto Gomez, one of our church's missionaries. He's going to be speaking on how the King James Bible helped my Spanish Bible translation. Dr. Gomez, Lord bless you.
Psalms 119, verse 140. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth. Let me just quote it in Spanish, just for the sake of filling it as my language. Sumamente pura es tu palabra, y la ama tu siervo. I love the Bible. And I love the King James Bible. I will not be where I am today if not for the King James Bible. I hope you don't mind, you don't get upset if I say something personal. Before I get into the message or my dissertation, I would like to share something with you, and I will covet your prayers. The tribulation, the testing, the temptations have been almost unbearable like never before. If we are still standing, it is only because of the grace of God. First, let me say a little bit about my country. The crime that we experimented in Mexico is beyond description. As you well know, my country is in a terrible shape. The crime is rampant. The violence is unspeakable. And we don't see no end to it. My country has disintegrated before our own eyes. Personally, over a year ago, we suffered the kidnapping of my nephew. It was a very trying time. And if you had the kidnappers ask for ransom, with great sacrifice, we put together some ransom. And if you add that I had to send my son, my only son, to an unknown place, to a different state, by himself, to deliver the ransom to professional killers, without us knowing if my son will come back alive. Some said, you shouldn't pay ransom. And I say, well, if it was your son, you probably will pay it too. Not only that, but I'm glad that one day God so loved me that he paid ransom for my soul. My boy delivered the ransom. Thankfully, he came back alive. But after that, there was 8 days of silence. We didn't hear anything. Finally, they released my nephew, and I don't have time to express everything that we went through. Then we had a conference not long ago in our main church then, and I won't say the city, where we live. And Dr. Wade came, several men here came. To the meeting, the pastor, Brother Alfredo, his sister and his brother-in-law were kidnapped. He pastors our main church there. She was 7 months pregnant. She was released, but she lost her baby. And about 3 weeks later, we received a video showing us how they butchered her husband. Then Sister Consuelo, the first fruits of our labor, when we went back to Mexico missionaries, she belonged to one of the first families that we led to Christ there. She lived with us over 35 years. She lived in our house, helped my wife, went to church with us. She was kidnapped. 3 months went by. Finally, we heard the news. She had been butchered, cut on pieces. About 4 weeks ago, I was going to the church Wednesday night. And as we was traveling in the loop of the city, we saw 2 cars that stopped in front of us. I kept going and I veered to the right. And then suddenly, 8 men with machine guns came out of their cars. And by this time, I was just parallel to him. And one of the men with a machine gun just hit the fender of my car and said, "Go." And they stopped everybody behind us. Immediately, we kept going and my wife began to pray, saying, "Lord, please let my son be in church already. Hope he's not driving behind." We got to the church and, praise God, my son was already in church. 4 weeks ago, the ones that were with us in the conference knew these people. This lady, you want to see it later on, she's got a gospel tract in her hand, was kidnapped. There was 5 members of the family. Tomorrow is going to be 4 weeks, and we haven't heard anything from her. She left behind 4 little children, 7, 5, 3, and 2 years of age. The crime has been incredible, and yet we still serving the Lord there. Not only we've been facing the crime, but incredible, the criticism, the critics, it's unbearable, and yet if we still here, continue on, it's only by the grace of God. Lately there, our critics, the one that criticized our Bible, have raised their level of criticism. I believe raise is not proper. I could say lower the level of criticism. They lie about our Bible and about their Bible. They lie about us too. It is painful that these people have become a professional liars. All their lives they have lived off the sacrificial given of King James Bible believers. And yet, in their back, they criticize anything that reads and looks like the King James Bible. And they do so without any hinder or hesitation, knowing very well that they have a free pass. Because they know we will not retaliate. I will not even mention their names. Unless I'm on my knees praying. Not only that, but they know that they are protected by the complacency and complicity of many independent fundamental Bible believers. And I'm not afraid of saying it. It's fine. Some of these leaders, the only thing they are interested on is numbers, success, friends, compadres. The truth don't matter. When we first published the 2004 edition of our Bible, The Fundamentalist magazine in Mexico wrote that our Bible was a private interpretation and that Humberto Gomez was doing it to please the gringos, that's what they say. And the American dollar was behind it. Now, the big leaders don't say many things, but they let the ones in the lower bracket say it for them. When this man began to write that I was doing it because of the money, the rumor spread all over, not only in Mexico, but in other Spanish-speaking countries, that I became a very wealthy, rich man. As we say in Mexico, hermano Heinz, hazme la buena. Hope it was the case. The irony is that all criticism comes only from our own brethren. They have become the greatest defenders of Sheol, Hades, Eugene Nida, the father of dynamic equivalence, Westcott and Hort, and the critical text. Because of all the crime and all the problems, I had to move out of my city to a different place, and we had to do it immediately. We had to incur and I don't have the proper English to say it, but we had to go deep in our credit debt in order to build a house where we can move on to. And we did, and put a tremendous financial strain on us. The conditions in which we serve the Lord now have changed a lot, but we continue to serve Him. Many a time we have to disguise ourselves. We had to use different routes, use different means of transportation, but we're still there serving the Lord, trying to reach our people with the gospel. Oh, the time when our critics spend their time hiding behind a computer, manufacturing ways to deceive more and more. Not only the crime, the critics, but also the certitude of our work, the certainty. And I would say this has been the most agonizing of all. The criticism, the problems we encounter have not been so heavy on us compared to the agony of doing a work that will please the Lord and nobody else. It's an awesome responsibility that God laid on our shoulders. And we agonize over what to do. Every word that we translate and write, we pray and fast and pray and fast and consult with others. There's been many a night without sleeping. You're looking at a man that for the last 10 years has slept an average of 3 hours a day for 10 years now. The agony of having certitude in the translation. Our condition. If we put all that together, you're looking at a man that's been very sick. This month of April, I was coming from a conference in Juarez, Mexico, which is documented to be number one in crime in the whole world. We went and preached a meeting for 8 days. You won't believe how heavy it is to minister in a war zone. It seems like you can feel the presence of evil in every corner of the town. Brother Villarreal, you know that. But we preach every night, and then Saturday night, we have an open-air meeting in the Plaza Libertad in Juarez, and we had about 3,000 people that came to the meeting. We gave 40,000 copies for free of our Bible, complete Bible. And we preached, and several souls came to Christ. Then from there we went to a conference, and when I was coming back to my home, right before I got to my home, I was driving slow, and then I felt like somebody turned the switch off on me. I woke up later, I was on the side of the road. I did not fall asleep. Just my heart stopped. I tried to get out of my car and couldn't. I lost all my strength. And I stood there. I remained seated for a while. Finally, I was able to walk a little bit, catch my breath. And then I continued to my home. And from there, I went to the hospital. All x-rays and electrocardiogram, whatever you call them. And then they found that I had a multiple strokes. It had not been easy. But we're still in the battle. And we will continue. This trip, I've been preaching for 40 years. I preach about 35 conferences a year in many countries. This is the first conference that I'm coming to without my wife. And I miss her a lot. Financially, because all the moves we had to make, because all the support we lost, I was not able, I could not afford to fly my wife with me in this trip. As a matter of fact, to fly myself, I had to raise the debt ceiling a little bit. And tomorrow I'll be flying to Peru, South America. And I'll be there for 11 days. I'm leaving behind my family, still ministering in Mexico. My wife, my children, my daughters, my grandchildren, they all serve in the Lord in Mexico. And it's not easy. But yet, can I say through all that, I'm having the time of my life. And I will not trade places with anybody in this world. God's been real good to us. God has given us a privilege that very few men ever had under heaven, to be involved and the Word of God working in a revision for our Spanish brethren. By the grace of God, thousands of people are being saved, continue to be saved, with preachers using our Bible. Many churches being established. My brother Jose just came to Matamoros to baptize 100 souls last month. My nephew Joe, this Sunday, baptized 24 more adults. And then Monday morning, he went to a town, San Carlos, next to San Fernando, Brother Villarreal. You know how many dead bodies they found there? Over 300 dead bodies. And I don't want to go into details. But the city is empty. Very few people there. Scared. But yet my nephew, his wife, his three little children, and about 19 members of his church took off for that place Monday morning to go and preach to him the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and bring hope to these people. We're not going to stop. We will continue on serving the Lord. Will you pray for us, please? Will you pray for my country? Brother Villarreal is here. He's one of my collaborators. He helped us tremendously in the revision of the Bible. Brother Heinz, missionary in Chile, is here too. He helped us tremendously in this work. And publicly, I want to thank you, Brother Heinz and Brother Ray Villarreal. Thank you. These men are champions of the faith. Brother Villarreal, recently, he received a call from these criminals and he was threatened that he need to pay some money. If not, they will come and kill his family. Those are the conditions we minister under right now. But yet, we're not coming back. We're going to stay where God called us, and we're going to continue preaching to our people. And we love them, and we're willing to die for the cause. How the King James Bible helped with the Spanish revision. Again, I say I'm thankful for the King James Bible. What a book. First, let me say the King James Bible helps us to bring, I don't know if it's the proper word, completion to our Spanish Bible, or help us to bring completeness to our Bible. If not for the King James Bible, we would have never known that our Spanish Bible had been tampered with by the critical text crowd. Since there was no missionary, no college, or ministry teaching us manuscript evidence or the differences between the text of Rosetta's and the critical text, there was no history for us in the Spanish Bible, so we did not know that our Spanish Bible had been infested with the critical text until we came to the English Bible. You can tell I'm a Mexican. I didn't know any English when I first came to America. I got to meet some preachers, King James Bible believers, and one friend, Dr. Jack Woods, gave me the first copy of the King James Bible. I did not know any English, just a little bit, but I began to study my King James Bible. I began to study the English language, and I fell in love with this book. What a book. When we came to America, we was invited to come and preach. And then we hear other preachers preaching. And we began to notice some very big differences. And I began to wonder why the King James Bible says that the four men in the fire is the Son of God, where our Spanish Bible says is the Son of the gods. Then I asked this preacher, and he said, one of the two is wrong. You tell me which one. And I remember I started arguing the same arguments that they gave me the 3 years that I went to school. They will tell me to defend my Bible, saying, well, Nebuchadnezzar was a lost man. And then this preacher say, do you mean Nebuchadnezzar wrote that Bible? He wrote the book of Daniel. And I say, no, sir, it was Daniel. Oh, okay, well, Nebuchadnezzar is out of the question. And it is up to the translator to see the context and see how it will be translated. And then I found that in chapter 2 of the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar is quoted in all these even critical text Bibles, God with singular and with a capital G. I said, how can it be that in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar recognizes the God of Israel as God, and then in chapter 3, we'll call him God? And then questioning began. Luke 23:42 was a big verse. How can the thief say, Lord, remember me? But in our Spanish Bible, the word Lord was removed. And then I began to notice that many words in the Spanish Bible had been removed. I will not find that if not for the King James Bible. Let me say, Many of our brethren argue that the removing of one word or two has no meaning, no consequence. Let me ask you this. Well, let me say this first. If you remove one single letter from the alphabet, let's say you remove the letter U from the alphabet, just one little letter, U, you will lose more than 3,000 words in your vocabulary by removing one small letter, U. Can you think of it? Now let me ask you this. If you remove from the Spanish Bible, from the Old Testament, the word hell, completely erased, no hell in the Old Testament, it was removed, will it affect doctrine? Will it be a no consequence? If you remove the word hell in the New Testament and reduce it to only 13 times altogether, will it be no consequences? No wonder. I mean, hell is freezing over in the Spanish Bible. And we had to do something about it. And I thank God for a Bible, the King James Bible, that calls heaven, heaven, and hell, hell. So we had no choice but began to work in a revision of our Bible. Just in the first chapter of the book of Matthew alone, they removed the word begat more than 30 times in just one chapter alone. How can it be? And here we are, and these people that defend the removing of the words in our Spanish Bible will, when they come to America, say that they are King James Bible believers. So the first thing that the King James Bible helped us with, it was to bring completion, correct all the omissions and all the words that had been erased from our Bible. If you remove from a Bible the word Jesus, Christ, Lord, over 20 times, do you think it will not bring any consequences? I guess I'm done. But let me say this. I thank God for the King James Bible. Let me just finish with I have a few other things, but let me say this. And this is the most painful thing. When you find, for instance, that the word hell is removed from the Spanish Bible, then these King James Bible believers in America, but in the mission field, they believe something else. They will say that we're trying to copy the English. When? Listen to this. The original 1602 Reina Valera Bible was based on the text of Receptus and had the word hell in it. When the Reina Valera that was based on the text of Receptus had the word Lord in it, but they removed it to follow the Revised Standard Version. And then they accuse us of following the King James Bible. We don't have, in most cases, we don't have to follow the King James Bible. We had to go back to Reina Valera 1602, and we found that it was right in our Bible. We would have never known if not for the King James Bible. 40 years I've been preaching, my Bible always was the 1909. I never used the 1960, never owned one, never had one in my house. I didn't like the word Hades, Sheol, either was heaven or hell. But even the people that published that Bible in the front page or in the first page, it will say 1602 Reina Valera. Even they deceived me. I thought I had with me the original 1602 until I found the original 1602. And I would have never known if not for the King James Bible. So I thank God for this precious book. What a book. I love the book. I love the King James Bible. God bless you.